So before the break, Steve gave us an orientation to emotions. And he helped us to see how emotions are the currency of human relationships. And as we come now to think on the purpose of emotion, we will see how emotions are not just the currency of human relationships, but also of our relationship with the Lord. Steve mentioned that I trained as a psychologist, and part of the training, we were required to have therapy. And so I had therapy throughout my training and beyond, total of about 4+ years. Part of that time, it was with a Jungian psychoanalyst who I saw twice a week for 2 of those years. And there's many things that I learned from that experience, which I won't share with you right now. But one of the biggest lessons I learned was what it felt like to pour out my heart to someone. You know, no holds barred, honestly, openly. And I distinctly remember that partway through my time in therapy, there was one time that I left this analyst's couch and walked home, and I knelt down before the Lord, and I continued to pour out my soul to him. And during that experience, and in the months and the years to come, my relationship with the Lord grew in ways that I hadn't experienced before, because I was learning what it looked like to pour out my soul to him. And the reason why I think that was so transformative is because emotions are the currency, not just of human relationships, but of our relationship with the Lord. And because the purpose of emotion, while there may indeed be many aspects to it, one of the fundamental purposes, the primary purpose, is to connect us to God, to the one who gave us our feelings. So that's what we're going to explore, how emotions connect us to God. I've been preparing for this topic over the past few months, and I've been spending a lot of time looking at what Scripture has to say about emotions. And this perhaps reveals something more about my own personal church tradition and cultural background, but I've been really surprised to see that the Bible actually has a lot to say on emotions. There are certain emotions that are commanded. Be joyful. Never be lacking in zeal. Let the peace of Christ rule. Fear the Lord. Mourn with those who mourn. And the list could go on. Not only does God's word give us commands to feel certain things, but the Bible is filled with emotional expressions. We see the characters in the Bible experiencing a whole host of feelings, from David, who danced for joy, through to Elijah, who was so hopeless and exhausted that he wanted to die, or Hannah, who wept before the Lord. What's more, God describes himself in emotional terms. We see God the Father's anger, his delight, his jealousy. We read of the Spirit's grief over sin. And in Jesus Christ, the full revelation of God, we witness compassion and sorrow and indignation and joy and many others. And as Steve mentioned, tomorrow we'll be spending some more time thinking about God's emotions. Scripture speaks to emotions. It speaks about emotions. And it also speaks through emotions. The Bible itself is emotional literature, right? Songs, poems, stories designed to move us, to stir our affections and the way we feel, not just to fill our minds with doctrine, but but to impact our desires and our delights. Emotions are indeed everywhere in Scripture, but perhaps no more vividly do we see what emotions look like in the life of a believer than in the Psalms, which is partly why the Bible readings at this conference will be from the Psalms. In these 150 chapters, we encounter a whole host of emotions. Loneliness, sorrow, regret, discouragement, shame, gladness, peace, grief, gratitude. And the list goes on. Fear, brokenheartedness, zeal, anger, confidence. Calvin, in his introductory commentary on the Psalms, described it as an anatomy of all the parts of the soul. For there is, he writes, not an emotion of which anyone can be conscious that is not here represented as in a mirror. But it's not just that the Psalms represent and display emotions. We see in the Psalms the primary response that we should have to emotions. And that is to turn to God. So if there is nothing else that you remember from this talk, remember that, turn to God. But do try and stay awake, at least for my encouragement, if nothing else. Turn to God with your emotions, or in the words of the psalm, pour out your heart. Now, in one sense, this should be obvious by the very nature of the Psalms, right? It's a prayer book. It is, by definition, people turning to God with their concerns. So it's what the psalmist describes himself doing in Psalm 42. These things I remember as I pour out my soul. It's what David says he does. Psalm 142, I cry aloud to the Lord. I pour out before him my complaint. Before him, I tell my trouble. But as well as that, it is something that we are specifically invited, dare I say commanded, to do. Listen to Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. God wants us to come to him with everything, including our emotions. And what does that look like? Well, it seems from these verses to be something as simple as telling God our troubles, crying aloud to him, speaking honestly and authentically and vulnerably about our fears, our doubts, our hopes, our cares, our complaints. To lay open our innermost thoughts and feelings before our God. And if we think about it, it's quite an extraordinary invitation. The God of the universe, who made the sky and the sea, who made the snow and the sun, invites us to pour out our hearts to him. It's amazing. And yet, it's easier said than done. I don't know about you, but I can find it hard to even know what I feel half the time. I don't know if you've had an experience of maybe you wake up feeling a little fragile, and a friend or a spouse, perhaps, makes a decidedly critical comment just at the wrong point. And in that moment, you feel a flood of emotion. You know, there might be a bit of anger, perhaps sadness and hurt, maybe even a bit of guilt and shame mixed in there. You have racing thoughts and a beating heart, and it's hard to get a handle on what you're feeling, let alone why you're feeling it. We struggle to even name emotions, don't we? And to pick apart this kind of complex web of thoughts and feelings. Because emotions can be quite confusing. They can feel quite overwhelming. And this can make them hard to talk about. And what's more, as a Christian, whilst trying to discern our emotions, we're also trying to figure out if they're right or wrong, whether they're godly or ungodly. And before we get very far, we can have a sense of spiritual shame and failure. We feel fear and, oh, that's evidence that we don't trust God. We feel sadness and we're failing to appreciate his goodness. We feel anger and that's just pure selfishness. Or perhaps we just feel simply defeated for not having better control over the things we feel, for not being able to obey his command to rejoice always. The confusion and sometimes the sense of condemnation that emotions bring can make them very hard to talk about. So it's not difficult to see why it can be hard to bring our emotions to God. But in the Psalms, we see people bringing their complex, their confused, their emotions that aren't kind of neatly packaged and well ordered. We see people not bringing their best selves, but they speak confidently, even about emotions that we might shy away from or think, surely that's unacceptable. They boldly bring the good and the bad, the confusing and the clear, the acceptable and the unacceptable. Because the call to pour out our hearts to the Lord is live with no restraints. Did you notice that in the verse? At all times, pour out your heart. God invites us to come to him with anything and everything that is in our hearts. Listen to some of the words the psalmist uses. I'm sinking in the mud and my feet are slipping. I say to my God, why have you forgotten me? You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Why do you reject me and hide your face from me? We see struggling saints bringing their honest, complex, heartfelt responses to the Lord. You know, one of the joys of counselling is having the privilege of people sharing with you some of their most personal and vulnerable feelings, things that they rarely share with other people. And yet in my experience, I have found that very few clients realise that they can be as personal and vulnerable with the Lord. In fact, it rarely even crosses their mind to talk to him in the way that they might talk to me or a trusted friend. And so an exercise that I often suggest is for them to find a psalm that best describes how they're feeling right now, that puts their emotions into words. And as they do that, there's this wonderful realization that it's not only okay and possible to bring our emotions to God like this, but it actually gives them the words, it actually shows them how to turn to the Lord with their emotions. And this is true of the full range of feelings, right? There are many psalms that are full to the brim with praise and thanksgiving for all the joys and happiness and hope that we experience in him and from him. You know, our feelings of wonder and delight and gladness are also designed to direct us to God, to the one in whom all goodness is found. But you know, there are actually more psalms of lament than there are of any other type of psalm. Psalms where we see sorrow, weariness, anger, disappointment, remorse, doubt. But the point is this, whether the psalm is of lament or praise, whether the emotion is one of frustration or joy, it is directed to God. And not simply as a means of letting off emotional steam. It's not just getting it all out and venting. Nor is it internal wallowing, a sort of indulging in self-pity and a sort of self-obsession about our emotions, nor is it just an exercise to identify and notice the things we feel. It's relational. It's part of a conversation. It is a cry to God. And therefore, it is faith in action. It is worship. It is the expression of the highest truth that exists, that we live and breathe and laugh and cry before God. Pour out your heart to God. But there is a second thing I want us to see about this. It is the fact that we pour out our hearts, not just to any old God, but to a God who is with us and for us. And this is so important, because if we are going to be vulnerable, we need to know that God is trustworthy. Pour out your heart to God because he is trustworthy. One of the wonderful things about Psalm 62, and indeed many of the Psalms, is that it doesn't just tell us to turn to God, it tells us why we can. And we'll see it's because he is our refuge. Let me read to you the first part of the Psalm. Yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him. For God is our refuge. If someone is untrustworthy, it is foolishness to pour out our hearts to them, to reveal to them, to be vulnerable with them. But the Lord is utterly trustworthy. He's described as our resting place. Find rest in God. He is our source of hope. My hope comes from him. He is described as our fortress in which we will never be shaken. He is described as our rock, indeed our mighty rock, our refuge. Emotions can feel so powerful, can't they? You know, just last week I met with three people struggling with intense emotions. One described fear literally controlling her life. The next described what felt like an endless, hopeless, overwhelming depression. The third being totally preoccupied and driven by anger. Emotions can destabilize us and at worst threaten to engulf us. But God will not be overcome by fear and uncertainty. He will not be unsettled by anger. He is not shaken by despair. He is solid, immovable, unchangeable. He is our rock. But as well as that, he's our place of comfort and solace, a place of safety and protection from anything that threatens to us. He's our refuge. My favorite psalm happens to be Psalm 121, which asks right at the beginning, where does my help come from? And let me ask you, when you feel sad or worried or frustrated, where do you go for help? And there are, of course, many possible answers, right? As it was said earlier, we might be tempted to deal with our emotions by distracting ourselves, turning on Netflix or YouTube or BBC Sport, immersing ourselves in work, or indeed other people's problems as counsellors. We might be tempted to seek comfort from our emotions in a glass of wine or a chocolate bar, or surrounding ourselves with things that make us feel good. We might try to alleviate the effect through sex or sport or self-harm. Or we might simply turn to another human being, a spouse, a parent, a friend, to be our rock and our refuge. Where does my help come from? Well, the psalmist answers in the next verse. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And this isn't just the correct theological response. It's not just a Christian answer. It's because God really is our true help. The only person who can be described as our rock and our fortress. The only place that provides true rest and hope. The only one who is an ever-present help in trouble. No one and nothing else can promise us this. Pour out your heart, for God is trustworthy. What does your prayer life look like? I wonder whether it feels more like a business meeting than pouring out our hearts to the Lord. I wonder, why is that? You know, do we think it's a waste of time? You know, I've got better things to do with my time than pouring out my heart to God. I'm sure he does too. But this is so different to how God reveals us and invites us to come to him. He tells us to cast all our anxieties on him because he cares for us. Anxieties don't have to meet a kind of threshold of legitimacy for us to come to him with them. We don't have to censor out the ones that are just a bit foolish, a bit silly. He says, cast all our anxieties on him because he cares for us. Rather than thinking it's a waste of time, maybe we worry that he'll just get a bit bored of us. You know, I love my children more than anything in the world. I love hearing about what they've been doing at school. But, you know, it gets to about 8 p.m. and I just want them to go to bed so I can get on with whatever else is going on in my evening. But the Lord is not like that. He is our rock of refuge to which I may continually come. His patience for us goes far beyond our own. The Lord will never be irritated with us for coming to him for help. You know, sometimes I'm hesitant to come to him because I kind of think he might just be a bit frustrated. I've talked to him about this. I've sort of dealt with it. I've talked it over with him. He's directed me to some verses, and yet I find the next day that I'm right back in the place I was before, struggling with the same old thing. You know, and I have to say, sometimes when I'm meeting with people, I'm embarrassed to say, I feel occasionally like saying, oh, I wish you'd just get over it. I know none of you will ever come to me for help again after revealing that, but... I grow tired of giving help and showing grace, but the Lord is not like that. He never grows tired. He never runs out of kindness and love. In fact, he makes a promise that we will always find grace and mercy whenever we come to him. He is extraordinary. And it's because of who he is that the psalmist implores us to pour out your heart. In fact, doing anything else with our emotions without first turning to God neglects the very purpose for why we were given them, to draw us to him. Whether it's joy, peace, gratitude, sorrow, anger, fear, let our first reaction to be to turn to God. You know, we're warned, don't be led by your emotions. And this is true if our emotions are leading us into sin. But emotions are supposed to move us. They provoke a response. And that response should be to turn us to God. Well, there is a one more thing I want us to see from the Psalms about turning to God. And we can bring our emotions to him, not just because he's trustworthy, but also because he changes us as we turn to him. Actually, pouring out our hearts to the Lord isn't only an end in itself, but is God's ordained means of changing us. pour out your heart to God, because he will change you. You know, one of the difficult things about emotions is that they have the danger of becoming the most important thing, the definition of reality. Emotions that were designed to drive us to God in the grip of sin also have the potential to dethrone him. Right? Anger says, there is no justice. I must act. Anxiety says, everything is uncertain. I must control. Sadness says, there's no hope. I am in despair. But as we turn to God with our emotions, he pulls us out of this self-centered spiral and redirects our attention to him. As we come into God's presence and pour out our heart, we engage with a God who is sovereign, who will work justice, who redeems, who restores, and who sustains. Prayer is not simply us speaking to God, but it is responding to a God who has spoken to us. You know, the Psalms teach us that we're not coming to an unknown God, but to a God who has revealed himself as present and faithful. And as we bring our emotions to him, we realize that he is the center, not our feelings. We realize that he is the measure of truth, not our perception. As we engage with God, we engage with the reality that he exists, that this is his world, and that we are his children. When we pray, we unburden ourselves, but more than that, we have our emotions renewed and reshaped in his presence. Listen to the testimony of the psalmists. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Out of my distress, I called to the Lord and the Lord answered me and set me free. On the day I called to you, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. We cry out to a God who answers us. We seek a God who delivers us. We come near to a God who comes near to us. And if you want to see the ultimate example, well then look no further than our Lord Jesus Christ, who perfectly displayed what it looked like to bring our emotions, his emotions, to his heavenly Father. Hebrews 5:7 says, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. It seems Jesus knew what it was to pour out his heart to his Father. And there are many times, of course, when we're told that Jesus went off to pray. And I used to sort of have this image in my mind of Jesus going up to a mountaintop, calm seas, blue sky, sun on his face, taking a deep breath, feeling the presence of the Lord, sense of peace and tranquility flooding over him. I now wonder whether those times when he went to pray looked a little different. Perhaps they were filled with a few more of these loud cries and tears than I had realized. But perhaps the most striking time we see Jesus pouring out his heart was in the Garden of Gethsemane, where we are told that being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. At the point of Jesus's greatest emotional turmoil, he turns to his Father. As Jesus faces the cross, the torture, the abandonment by his friends, and what's more, the full weight of his Father's wrath directed at him, he longs for there to be another way. My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. He returns to his disciples. You know how it goes. He finds them sleeping. He urges them to watch and to pray before going away a second time to pray again. My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. He places himself in his Father's hands. and once again returns to his disciples before going to pray a third time, we are told saying the same thing. Jesus, the perfect human being, poured out his heart to his Father. And his prayer was answered. Not to remove the cup, but to enable him to bear the agony. If this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. Through turning to his Father, he found the strength and courage to continue forward in faith, to face the cross. And this prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane is, of course, the most important lament in all of Scripture. Had Jesus allowed his emotions to lead him away from his Father rather than towards him, then all would be lost, right? Including us. But wonderfully, it is Jesus' lament that makes all of our laments possible. It is because Jesus knelt down and prayed to his Father that we can come to our Father. It is because Jesus found refuge in God that God has become our refuge. And it is because we are united to Christ in his death and his resurrection that we can now sing and speak and pray the Psalms, confident that we will be heard, no matter what we feel, no matter what we face. So, friends, the next time your emotions grab your attention, the next time they urge you to respond, let them turn you to God. Turn to the one who is trustworthy, to the one who loves you and longs to hear how you feel. To the one who forgives you, who will minister to you, who will transform you. Knowing that because of Christ's faithfulness, we can approach God's throne of grace with confidence, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let me pray that for us now. Oh, Father, what an extraordinary privilege it is that you, the God of the universe, call us to come to you and pour out our hearts. Thank you that there is nothing that we cannot turn to you with, no emotion that is too great or too dark or too confusing. Thank you that we can do so confidently because you are such a trustworthy God. Please, Father, would you move in our hearts, grow our confidence in who you are, teach us to turn to you. Would you, by your Spirit, enable our first response to our emotions be to run to you? And we thank you that this is possible because of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus. We thank you for him lamenting and going to the cross. And through him, we confidently approach your throne of grace. In his name we pray. Amen. Great. Well, we now have some time to discuss. How long do we have? 5, 10 minutes? Something like that. So similar to what we did this morning, in your handout and the leaflet and on the screens, you'll see a couple or three questions that you can think about with one or two other people. Psalm 62, verse 8, pour out your hearts to him. Firstly, have a think. In what ways do we struggle to do this? And what do you think might be some of the reasons for that? So think personally. About yourself. Secondly, what practical steps can you take to help pour out your heart to the Lord? And thirdly, how can you help those you are ministering to pour out their hearts?